Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I hope that you'll take them out and find with me the book of Judges, the 13th chapter. Judges chapter 13 is where we're at this morning. We want to welcome those who are joining us this morning on Facebook Live. We are glad that you are able to join us wherever you might be this morning. It's always good to welcome those who are joining us online. And you know, sometimes you get to the point where you know it's time for a vacation. I know it's time for a vacation because last Sunday I told you that Isaac Newton wrote Amazing Grace. And he did not write Amazing Grace. You know, it was one of those moments, you know, when you're in the middle of a sermon and you get Isaac Watts and John Newton combined, and you come up with Isaac Newton. But I know I had a couple of people after the service who were gracious and let me know that I made a mistake. So I said, okay, I've got my mistake for the year taken care of. That's good. But seriously, I will be away on vacation for the next two Sundays, and I have a good friend of mine who has not preached here before because he has been a pastor at Grove Avenue Baptist Church in Richmond for the last 19 years. Dr. Mark Becton will be with you in the next two Sundays, and you will be blessed by Pastor Becton's messages. He is a wonderful preacher of God's word, and I know that you're going to be blessed by having him here. Sometimes I let you know that I'm going to be gone. Sometimes I just surprise you. But somebody said you shouldn't let people know that you're going to be gone, because when the cat's away, the mice will play. But that's not the case here. I know it's not the case here. You'll be here. You'll support Pastor Becton and know that he's going to bring two great messages that will encourage your heart and that will bless you. So please be in prayer for him as he comes to share God's word with you the next two Sundays. So today we're going to look at Samson part one, and then on August the 25th, that seems like a long time away, doesn't it? On August 25th, we'll look at Samson Part 2. But today we're looking at Samson Part 1 from Judges 13. When we think about the person of Samson, most of the time, what do we think about? His long hair, right? His long hair. Just that's where I get my hair from, the Samson. But that's usually what we think about. We think about his hair. We also think about a lady by the name of Delilah, who cut his hair, and as a result of that, he lost his strength. However, there is much more to Samson than just that situation. There's much more to Samson about that. And here's what I want us to think about today. Here's the main idea for today. And that is this: God's desire for Samson is the same desire that he has for you and me. And that desire was for holiness. Everybody say holiness. God wanted Samson, and he wants us to be holy. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, God said, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, for you shall be holy, for I am holy." That was God's desire for Samson, and that is God's desire for you and for me today. That desire is for our holiness, our holiness. Now, most of the time when we hear the word holiness, we think about the idea of separation, to be separate. That is a person who lives a separate life. And also, whenever we think about living a separate life, you know, some people have these different ideas about what that might look like. For some people, they think, well, to live a separate life means I've got to be perfect. And we know that there's no one who is perfect except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, If the only person who is perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know I'm not perfect, then obviously I'm not, I said Isaac Newton last week, then nobody can be truly holy. That's what some people think about when they think about the idea of holiness. For other people, when they hear the word holiness, they think about a prohibition. That, you know, it's this idea that holiness means there's a list of things that we are allowed to do and a list of things that we should not do. You know, some of the more fundamentalist churches have, you know, a different list. They talk about certain things that you should do or shouldn't do, and or should wear or shouldn't wear. And so it basically boils down to a list of prohibitions. For other people, it's a lifestyle. A couple weeks ago, we took a little road trip up to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we were able to see some of the Amish people. And so sometimes people, when they think about the word holiness and the word separation, they think about a lifestyle like the Amish people. However, what I want you to understand this morning is all of those ideas about holiness are not exactly accurate. What I want you to understand this morning, the word holiness means to be set apart. It means to be set apart. You don't just stumble into holiness. You have to make a decision that you're going to attempt to live a set apart a life. And Samson is an example of what that looks like. God's desire for Samson was holiness. We see that from the very beginning of his life. And I think that God did three things in Samson's life in order to bring about holiness in his life. That's what we want to look at together this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, let's stand together in honor of reading God's Word. And I want to begin by reading verses 1 through 5 and then verse 24. The Bible says, "The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a man by the name of Zorah of the tribe of, a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines.'" Verse 24 says, "And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him." Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we have to read and to study your word together this morning. And God, I pray that you would help us today to hear the message that you have for us on holiness. Help us, God, to live lives that are different, lives that are set apart, lives that are set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd help us to hear from you in your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So what did God bring into Samson's life in order to help him in this area of holiness? There's three things. First of all, he brought about a special birth. A special birth. Now, we come to chapter 13, and it's the same old, right? The people of Israel, what did they do? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. We've seen that over and over and over in the children of Israel's lives. And this time, after they have done these evil things, the Lord hands them over to a people called the Philistines. Now, you probably, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard of the Philistines. They have a reputation, don't they? They have a reputation of being very warlike people. Who is the most famous Philistine of them all? Goliath. That's right. Goliath was a Philistine. And the Philistines were also the people that were responsible for capturing the Ark of the Covenant. So we know some things about the Philistines. And it's interesting here that the Bible says that the Lord handed them over to the Philistines for 40 years. 40 years. How many of you are younger than 40? I'm not going to check any license, okay? Think about being held under oppression your entire life, if you're under 40. For 40 years, they were held under oppression by the Philistines. Now, it's worth noting here, before we move on, that there is no evidence in our text that the children of Israel cried out to God for deliverance from the Philistines. Even though they were held for 40 years, there's no evidence. All the other accounts we've looked at, they go through that cycle. You know, they do things that are evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord hands them over to some people who oppress them. And then at a certain point in time, they cry out to God, and then God sends them a deliverer. There's no evidence here that they ever cried out to God. And I think that is significant because I believe that what is happening is they have become accustomed to the Philistines' lifestyle. The Philistines have kind of brought them in to their culture. And so there's no point in which they cry out to God. But aren't you thankful that God is a God of grace? And God is the one who takes the initiative in their lives. God is the one who comes and says, I'm going to bring someone into this situation in order to bring about deliverance. And so he begins to bring about Samson. Now, we're told a little bit about Samson's parents here in this passage of Scripture. We're told that his father's name is Manoah, and we don't know his mother's name. Nowhere in this passage of Scripture are we given his mother's name. But we do know something about her. We know from this passage of Scripture that she was barren. She could not have children. She falls into the same line as Sarah, as Hannah, and as Elizabeth in the New Testament. And in each one of these situations, what we discover is this: with God, all things are possible. And so Manoah could not have children. And the angel of the Lord appears to her. Now, the angel of the Lord, and most commentaries, most Bible scholars believe that this was a pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord Jesus Christ appears to her in the form of an angel, the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord announces to this barren woman, that, but look at the verse number 4, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Sounds like we should start singing a Christmas hymn right here, doesn't it? You shall conceive and bear a son. And so God works to bring about this special birth. This special birth. A woman who was barren is now going to be able to have a son. And listen, just as it took a special birth for Samson to fulfill God's desire for him, it takes a special birth for us to fulfill God's desire for us as well. You say, Doug, how can I be holy? Well, we can't be holy without some help. In fact, without a lot of help. And the kind of help that we need comes from God. And the kind of help that we need starts with a special birth. Now, for us, it's a second birth. It's being born again. It's being born again. When we are born again, we have received a second birth. I have two birthdays. I have a birthday when I was first born in June of a certain date. And I didn't raise my hand when I said under 40, so. I have a first birth, but then I also have another birth when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior at the age of 12. And so whenever a person comes to faith in Christ, God gives them that second birth. God delivers us. God sets us apart. God saves us and brings us unto Himself. And just as Samson had a special birth, those who personally come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord, they have a special birth. We have a special birth as well. You know, Jesus had a discussion with Nicodemus about the second birth. He had an interesting discussion with Nicodemus, and it's in John chapter 3, he talks to Nicodemus about the second birth, and listen to what Nicodemus says to Jesus. He says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answers and says to her, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You see, friends, holiness begins with a saved life. Holiness begins with that second birth. And so this morning, let me ask you that question. Have you been born again? Do you have two birthdays? A birthday when you came into this world and a birthday when you gave your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you answer no to that second question, then let me ask you this question. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Come to know Him today. Listen, nobody in this room is promised a tomorrow. I mean, the world in which we live in, we're not promised a tomorrow. Those people that went into that Walmart yesterday morning, they expected to go home that afternoon. Nobody's promised a tomorrow. What are we waiting on? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Experience that special birth. Experience that second birth. Come to faith in Jesus Christ. In just a little while, we will stand together and we'll sing an invitation hymn. And if you want to receive that second birth, I'm going to invite you to come down one of these aisles and pray and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. A second birth, a special birth. But number two, there was a special blessing. A special blessing that Samson received. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for this child shall be called a Nazarite to God from the womb." Before Samson was ever born, listen, before he was ever born, before he was ever born, God had a plan for his life. And even in the womb, God had a plan for his life. There's something there as well, I think, to the pro-life movement that we need to be reminded of, that God has a plan for every single person, no matter whether they are in the womb or out of the womb, God has a plan for their life. He said to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." God had a plan for Samson's life. The Nazarite. He was going to be a Nazarite. The word Nazarite means to be set apart. It means to be consecrated. We find the word Nazarite first in the book of Numbers chapter 6. In Numbers chapter 6, it talks about the Nazarite vow. And the Nazarite vow basically included three things. It included a consecration to God that included abstaining from all drink of wine and strong drink. Number two, it also included avoiding touching unclean or dead bodies. And then number three, the third mark was that they would not cut the hair The hair continued to grow. And so Manoah's wife, the Bible says she had to be careful. Not just after Samson was born to make sure that he did those things, but notice even before he was to be born, he says in verse 4, therefore be careful. He's talking to Samson's mom here. He says, be careful, drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. So even before Samson was ever born, God's consecrating him, God's setting him apart for this special work for him to do. Now, let me just pause right there and say this. Normally, a Nazirite vow was something that was voluntary. Somebody voluntarily decided they were going to take up this Nazirite vow. However, in this case, Samson didn't get a choice in the matter. Samson came to be a Nazirite because God had a plan for his life. Normally, a Nazirite vow was for a specific length of time. Samson's was for his entire lifetime. And now, God had a blessing. God's special blessing for Samson was this. It was his presence. His presence. Look what the Bible says there in verse number 5 at the end. He says, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazirite to God from the womb. To God from the womb. And he says to him, I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be there with him as long as he is a Nazirite, as long as he is following me, I'm going to be right there with him. And listen, I want you to understand that just as we have been given a special birth, and when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that he gives us a special blessing as well, and that is the person of the Holy Spirit. When a person experiences that new birth, the moment we receive the new birth, we receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's not something that's added on. It's not something that's attached on. It's not something you have to go and receive a blessing. No, you receive the blessing, the Holy Spirit of God, the moment you trust Him as Savior and Lord. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells in you and will be with you. Don't miss it. Samson experienced a new birth, a special birth, I should say. And he also received a special blessing. And if you and I are going to be holy, then first of all, we must receive that new birth. And with the new birth comes the blessing of God, the Holy Spirit. One final thing I want you to see, and that is this. God brought to Samson a special birth. He brought him a special blessing. And then number 3, he brought to him a special burden. A burden. Look at verse number 5 again, the very last part of that. There's something there that, to be honest with you, I had not caught, excuse me, until studying and praying through this passage of Scripture. The end of verse 5, it says that he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Circle the word begin. He shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Did you know that Samson was a starter? He wasn't a finisher. He was a starter. He wasn't a finisher. Now, as I said, you come back on August the 25th and you'll find out why he wasn't a finisher. I'll give you a little hint. In order to really be a person of holiness, it requires a saved life and it requires a surrendered life. And somewhere along the way, Samson stopped surrendering his life to the Lord. He was a beginner. He wasn't a finisher. And you know, there's a lot of Christians that are like that. There's a lot of Christians who are like that. God calls us to a task, and we never finish what God has called us to do. How many of us have started reading the Bible through on January 1st? And we get to about March, and we just kind of forget about it. You know, got to get through Numbers and Leviticus first, right? That's the hard part. We start out great, we start out strong, and we never really finish. How many of us start and we say, we're gonna tithe our income to the church, but then a few months go by and kind of let that slip by the wayside? How many of us say, you know what, I'm gonna start reading my Bible, I'm gonna start praying for 10 minutes a day, I'm just gonna pray for 10 minutes a day. But then we spend 30 minutes looking at Facebook and Instagram and all the other social media out there, and we lose track of time, and then we just forget about that 10 minutes a day. How many of us are starters but not finishers? Samson falls into that category. But God gave him a burden. His burden was he was the start, begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Of course, we know that that didn't happen right away. We know that David had to eventually take care of that situation, those Philistines, and we can read about that in 1 and 2 Samuel, but we just need to be reminded this morning, again, of God's desire for us. God's desire is for what? It's for holiness. And we too, just like Samson, can experience that holiness as a result of the special birth. We can experience that holiness because of the special blessing that God has given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to give you a few things this morning to think about as you walk out of here. A few things that are hopefully practical ways in order for us to experience holiness in our lives. A few things hopefully you can take out of here and say, you know what, I want holiness, I desire holiness, I've experienced that second birth and hope, and the Holy Spirit is in my life, but I want to make sure that holiness is a part of my life. Three things to think about. First of all, establish boundaries. Establish boundaries. When we're out into the world in which we live, we must know what are the boundaries around us that we're going to set up in order for us to succeed at this area of holiness. And especially those who are getting ready to go back to college, those who are getting ready to go to college for the very first time, what are the boundaries? What type of things are you going to establish in your life before you even step onto that campus? Because one thing I know is whenever we're in the middle of a situation, that's not when you want to establish boundaries. We want to establish boundaries early, set down some road marks, set down some parameters, and say, I'm not going to go past this parameter. And by the way, the best place to go to find your parameters is right here. What does God's Word say? What does God's Word tell me about the boundaries in which I need to set up in my life? That leads me to the second point, and that is this: stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 12? He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Do you renew your mind while watching television for 3 hours? Or do you renew your mind by reading the Bible for 30 minutes? Read the Bible for 30 minutes. Read the Bible for 3 hours if you can. But listen, whatever it takes, but read God's Word. I don't believe it's possible. I know it's not possible to live a holy life apart from the Word of God. We need the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did He use? He used the Word of God. He was tempted in the wilderness, and he used the Word of God to combat Satan. And you and I, we have God's Word, and we can use God's Word to help us in this area of holiness. Number three, stand firm. Stand firm. You set up those boundaries in your life that are based on the Word of God. And then whenever that temptation comes, whenever that trial comes, that's when you need resolve. That's when you need to stand firm. I'm reminded of Daniel. Daniel, in the book that's named after him, we know that Daniel had some boundaries, didn't he? He had some boundaries already set up. And so when the king came to him and said, Daniel, you need to eat this certain food, and just like everybody else in my kingdom, you need to eat this certain food. Daniel said, no, I've already set up these boundaries. I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to move. I'm going to stand firm. And as a result of that, God blessed Daniel in many ways, in so many different ways. And so stand firm in the belief and the conviction that you have in your life. Samson was set apart by God. God said, you're going to be a Nazarite. And God's desire for him was to be separate, to be set apart. And God's desire for me, God's desire for you is the same. He said, be holy as I am holy. And that holy life starts with a second birth. Have you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you experienced the second birth that only He can provide? And it continues with a blessing, the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God that comes into our hearts and our lives, and that leads us and directs us and that helps us in our life. This morning, let me encourage you, let me challenge you to be holy just as God is holy. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for Samson. We thank you, God, for his life. Even though his life ended tragically, God, we know that he had a separated life in the beginning, so much so that his name appears in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us as believers this morning to have that same desire to pursue after holiness. God, I pray that you'd help us this morning to set those boundaries based on the Word of God. And God, help us to stand firm that we will not budge, we will not move beyond those boundaries that we've set up for our lives. God, I pray right now for those who may be here today who have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. I pray that today they would experience the second birth. They would come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. God, that you would begin to work and to move in their life. God, lead us as we sing this invitation hymn, as we receive the Lord's Supper today. We pray that you'd continue to be glorified in this place. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, family, as we sing this invitation hymn. And if God has spoken to your heart about any decision that you need to make today, whether that's to experience the second birth, whether that is to rededicate your life to Jesus, to be baptized, or to join our church family, you come as God speaks to your heart this morning.